Let's start with a little baseball talk, Dan, as we come up on the All-Star break. It's been a pretty strange season, but a fun season so far with a lot of unfamiliar names atop the leaderboards.
Yeah, it's been very strange. I confess that I've not been paying as close attention to the season this year. I think some of it is still just like in recovery from the Cubs win last year. Some of it is the Tigers, my other team, are really just flailing away at the bottom of the AL Central. But yeah, I mean, at the same time, it's really kind of fun to see, like, you know, a team like the Houston Astros really kind of running away with the AL West, and Milwaukee Brewers in first in the NL Central, and you know, just the Yankees kind of getting better before people thought they would, and it's been fun.
You brought up the Tigers, and it made me think. I was having this conversation with a friend the other day about when we were kids and playing either wiffle ball or some version of backyard playground baseball. And if you didn't have enough kids, you would improvise. And and I don't know if this was a regional thing or if other people did this, but when we didn't have enough people, and you might have a wiffle ball game going, we would often have a rule that you had to imitate the batting stance of each guy and pick a team. And I would always take the Tigers just so I could do Dick McAuliffe stance.
A classic stance. You know, it's funny. I mean, we did that. I don't think we had a rule. It was just sort of like I think we were a little more freeform about it. But, you know, like one pitch I would try to deliver like Luis Tiant. The next one I tried to deliver like Mark Fidrich. That was so much fun to do that. My best friend and I used to actually have these insane one-on-one baseball games with, like, you know, actual hardball fast pitch where we'd you'd hit the ball and then just run around the bases while the other person ran after the ball and tried to track it down. And I think actually my favorite person to imitate was a guy named Cliff Johnson. I don't know if you remember
him. I sure do. Absolutely.
He was this gigantic backup catcher / DH that the Yankees obtained from the Astros like halfway through the halfway through the 77 season. And just like the guy would incredibly fearsome looking dude, and he'd just get up there and hit bombs. So for a while, Cliff Johnson was my man.
I love the daily funky birthday greetings that you post on social media. It's hard to expect anybody to live up to the high standards of the 70s, but who's got the best facial hair in Major League Baseball right now from your perspective?
Wow, that's a tough call. To tell you the truth, I'm not really enamored of much of the Major League facial hair I see these days. It's all like, you know, everybody looks like the Geico caveman. In the 70s, there's a sense of style. Even guys like Gene Garber, who had, you know, kind of a Grizzly Adams beard for a while in the late 70s, you know, it was well groomed. These guys are just kind of like, you know, letting it go. And I sort of lose track of who's got the beard now and who doesn't. But it seems like every time I turn on the TV to watch a game, there are at least three guys, you know, in the lineup or coming out of the bullpen who just look, they just look like a mess.
I saw the other day, I was doing some cleaning up and found some old baseball cards and was reminded of, one of the ugliest hairdos anybody had back in the 70s, and that was Jack Brohammer when he was with the Red Sox and briefly flirted with having a fro, and it just didn't work at all.
Jack Brohammer.
Yes. It was, let's put it this way, Oscar Gamble was not at all threatened by it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, they were teammates for a while, I believe.
So. I think they were, yeah.
Or maybe he was gone from the White Sox by the time Gamble came on. I can't remember. Brohammer is actually one of the great unsung characters of 70s baseball. I mean, he was kind of a utility guy, was never really a star on for any of the teams he played, but was a total practical joker, great sense of humor. probably best known at this point for he was playing for the White. Oh yeah, okay. I guess he would have been on Gamble's team on the White Sox in '77 because if you look up online, there's a great photo of Brohammer in opening day '77 in Toronto, first game the Blue Jays ever played in the majors. Where there was snow on the field before the game started, and Brohammer has put together this sort of cross-country skiing outfit where he's using catcher's shin guards as skis and bats as poles, and is kind of skiing his way across the diamond. But my favorite fact about Jack Brohammer is that he's actually the only person in Major League history to hit a home run while wearing short pants.
Wow.
And that was with the 1976 Chicago White Sox during their very brief period in which they were wearing shorts designed by Bill Beck.
And I also remember Brohammer in his Red Sox tenure was part of a triple play, and I want to say it was with Butch Hobson, and I don't remember who the third guy was, probably Bob Watson or somebody was part of it, but they didn't get many triple plays back in the day, but Brohammer was part of one of them.
I don't remember that, but that makes sense. That's totally the sort of thing he would just kind of like pop up into.
We're talking with Dan Epstein, the author of two of the best baseball books you'll ever read, Big Hair and Plastic Grass and Stars and Strikes. And I see you've been out doing some touring and talking about the books a little bit this summer.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, it's been 3 years since Stars and Strikes came out. So, you know, I'm not pushing it really hard anymore at this point, but every once in a while I'll get, you know, invitation to come speak somewhere or do a reading. And if I can make it work, you know, I love to travel. I love to meet people and talk about baseball, especially the glory days of 70s baseball. So that's always fun for me.
Away from baseball, it's a big day in the music world, and you made note of it today. The Duke of Earl celebrating a birthday today.
Yes, Gene Chandler, one of the great Chicago soulmen of the 60s and 70s. And I mean, I think most people know him from Duke of Earl, which was his first hit. It was kind of a doo-wop tune in 1962. But the man actually had an incredible run of singles, many of which were produced by the late, great Curtis Mayfield. Throughout the 60s and early 70s and kind of came back again in the early 70s with Groovy Situation, which still gets played on a lot of all these channels. And then he had a disco smash in 1979 with a song called Get Down. But really just like one of my favorite singers. He had such an appealingly kind of average Joe way about him. He was not, you know, he didn't have a super powerful voice, wasn't like a guy who could blow you away with, you know, hitting high notes or whatever, but just, you know, it was kind of a soulful everyman.
A lifestyle change for you. I was reading about on the blog that you have become a vegetarian, and at least a part of the reason behind that was your visit to see Ziggy the Traveling Piggy.
So you know of Ziggy.
I do through you, absolutely.
Yeah, Ziggy, I started following, I've always had a fascination with pigs, and thanks to the internet, there are a lot of interesting pig pages on Facebook and Instagram, et cetera. And my wife and I paid a visit to the home of one of these pigs, Ziggy the Traveling Piggy, a farm animal refuge in kind of like north central North Carolina near where my wife is from. And it was really a pretty magical experience just being around all these animals, many of whom had been abused or escaped from the line at the slaughterhouse or trucks taking them on the way to slaughter. And the people who run the refuge are just, you know, they just put heart and soul into keeping these animals well and happy, and you know, beautiful location. And it really, I've been sort of teetering on the edge of vegetarianism for a long time and interacting with these animals and just thinking like, you know, they all have such interesting personalities and they really, you know, they deserve a good life. They don't deserve to end up in my belly. So vegetarianism it is for me.
Well, good for you.